Hello and welcome to a Selection Sunday edition of the Cyclone Insider Podcast. I'm Travis Hines. He's Randy Peterson, coming to you from Hilton Coliseum, where we just learned the fate of the men's and women's programs for Iowa State on Selection Sunday. The men will face South Dakota State on Thursday. The women, will face Maryland in Palo Alto, California, time and day to be determined. We're going to bring in Tommy Birch here in a little bit to talk about the women's draw. Randy and I are going to talk about the men's draw, which features the Cyclones playing former TJ Otzelberger assistant Eric Henderson and the Jackrabbits, easy for me to say, been a long week, in Omaha on Thursday, 6:35 p.m., True TV. Randy, my initial thoughts on this draw for Iowa State is obviously there's a ton of familiarity between these two staffs. A lot of the guys on Eric's staff in South Dakota State originally came to Brookings under TJ. Rob Klinkfist has actually worked up there for a long time but still worked under TJ and now works under Henderson. Lots of familiarity between these two coaching staffs. Which makes for interesting things to talk about. But in terms of the actual basketball product, South Dakota State is a pretty good 15 seed. You know, they are not the team that went that won 30 games a few years ago, but this is still a team that can put the ball in the basket at a high rate.
Okay, I'll look at – yeah, you're right, Travis. I look at it a couple of ways here. They're a 15 seed, so let's not overreact to 15 seed. They're a 15 seed. They're a 15 seed for a reason. Yeah, we saw what happened the last time Iowa State was a 2 and played a 15 in the first round. And in case you need reminder, it was Hampton in Boise. I covered the game. It was ridiculous. I mean, the whole outcome. I mean, it's one of those things that should not have happened. And after that game, Eustace said that Iowa State simply clearly was tired. But I don't sense that the present team is tired. And yeah, it's a bad draw for Iowa State in the respect that TJ's playing his former, the former school league coach with his buddies. And I think I'm not going to put words in TJ's mouth, but TJ said all the right things when asked about that. He has every reason, though, privately, to wonder what the heck is going on. I mean, was it done just randomly, which it probably was. But nonetheless, I mean, I can't imagine TJ's real happy with the matchup, given the aspect of the familiarity, like you said, Travis, with the staff, and it's his former school. I cannot even imagine he's got any kind of good vibes about that. And I don't mean vibes about winning or losing the game. Just about the emotions that he'll have, his family will have, for gosh sakes. So it's a strange matchup, but it's certainly a matchup Iowa State can win.
Yeah, we'll have plenty more to say about the matchup as we get a chance to delve into it. Obviously, I'm a little familiar with South Dakota State because TJ was there. Henderson used to coach here, or was here. Tyler Glidden, Brian Peterson. So I've watched them a little bit. They can put the ball in the basket. Henderson wants to play fast. I haven't watched this team as much as I've watched some of their previous year's teams. But they're going to be well-disciplined in the way that they play offensive basketball. Now, in terms of strength versus strength, I think Iowa State will put its defense up against any offense in the country. So that's a win for Iowa State, and Las Vegas picks this as a 16.5 point line in Iowa State's favor. So obviously this is not the biggest trap game in the world. It feels probably more like a narrative game for us in the narrative business, but certainly an interesting draw for Iowa State. On the other side of the quad is Washington State and Drake, which again provides plenty of fodder there as well, with the Des Moines-based Bulldogs just making the same trip across I-80 to Omaha as the Cyclones. Again, we'll have plenty more to say about that as the days progress. But Randy, I think one of the other things we talked about with TJ as well as Trey King and Curtis Jones is the ability to turn the page past Saturday night's championship. Because for everything that accomplishment is, and I personally think it's quite a big one. It means diddly squat to winning on Thursday, winning on Saturday, and going beyond and trying to get back to the Sweet 16 and maybe even further for this Iowa State team. And I think this team, we talked about it on a podcast that'll never be released because it got eaten by the internet. But this team, the way that this team left Kansas City reminds me a lot of the 2015 team that left Kansas City. And I know Iowa State fans are going to shudder at that because that 2015 team went into Louisville, Kentucky and lost to UAB as a 3 seed. But what I mean by that is that it reminds me of a team playing at the height of their powers over 3 days, winning a conference tournament and really having a ton of buzz about them. I think that this team is better equipped to handle that and turn the page because this team is all about the day ahead, the dribble ahead, the possession ahead. And they've lived that all season long. I think, you know, the guys that have been here, like Rob Jones, for 3 years, have lived that for 3 years. And I think that really is in the DNA of this team. Whereas, and when you're defense first, I think that's easier to do. Whereas that 2015 team, lots of personalities, lots of future pros, very offense-based, which I think can give you a little bit more variance in your game-to-game or even possession-to-possession outcomes. So it reminds me of this 2015 team in that you have a team playing at its best, but I do think the thing that came up and jumped up and got that 2015 team is less of a concern for this team. So that's where the analogy diverts, I suppose.
Yeah, and if this team plays like it played against Houston, and I don't even know whether Iowa State can even replicate that or not. I mean, that victory is right up there on a Mount Rushmore of Iowa State. I don't care, total university victories, right up there with, I don't know, the Kyle Kemp over Oklahoma, 35-point underdog or stuff like that. That's how big it was. But yeah, you mentioned the fact that these players are probably over it, and they came back last night. They came back last night. Now after the game, they got in a bus and came back to Ames, where in the past years, they've stayed in Kansas City, celebrated with their fans in the hotel lobby. Lord knows how much sleep they got, if any. There were fans there telling them how great they were. To your point, Trav, that TJ is about the next pass, the next possession, and I'm talking about practice now, not games. He's not about that. He got his guys the heck out of there, and that's probably a good thing. Well, maybe, and I don't think the players knew about it 100% that they were going to do that either.
And to interject, and to be fair to Fred Hoiberg and those teams, the 2014 team did win the title and go to the Sweet 16, and they stuck around.
Yeah, so, yeah, no,
so it's
exactly.
Not a binary stay and lose, leave and win.
No, but you're right.
Nonetheless,
you're right. But he didn't want.
It's a consistent message of stay,
yes, exactly,
in the moment and stay
that.
Ready,
yes,
for what's ahead.
Yes,
that's
exactly
sure.
what they've been doing all year, and there's no need to change that now. And really, how much practice? If they practiced after, well, they wouldn't have practiced after Selection Sunday, but if they would have practiced today after the. After the announcements, there wouldn't have been any practice. I mean, it would just have been all distraction. And they did their normal Sunday stuff today. So they're standing as much as routine as possible. So we'll see what happens at 6:30 on Thursday night.
Iowa State, South Dakota State, NCAA tournament first round, CHI Health Center in Omaha, Nebraska, 6:35 p.m. True TV. I've already got it committed to memory. Be sure to check out DesMoinesRegister.com for everything that you could possibly want to know about the men's tournament. We're going to bring on our colleague Tommy Birch now to talk about the women's tournament. Welcome, Tommy, to the Cyclone Insider Podcast. Iowa State, Maryland, 7:10 game. Have we seen times yet?
We haven't seen time. We haven't even
play
seen
this week.
Days.
Yeah. Yeah, so they will play this week. But give us your initial impression on Bill Fennelly's team taking on his former assistant's team.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough test. I mean, obviously, Maryland's one of the best teams in the nation historically and this year. I believe, tons of experience. I'm still trying to figure out who they are as a team. But, I mean, as has been the case traditionally for Iowa State this season, they are usually going to be the more inexperienced team. But they have had success away from home and against ranked teams before. So, if anything, I think the Big 12 Conference certainly prepared them for a tough matchup. That doesn't mean, obviously, they're going to win it.
Yeah. Any surprise about the draw? I know it seemed like the consensus is that they were going to head out west, but to Los Angeles, I believe, with USC as the host instead. Stanford is the number two in the in the region that they're in out there in Palo Alto. Thoughts on the overall draw for Iowa State beyond just Maryland?
Yeah, really not that bad. I mean, the way it looked at possibly going to LA and possibly having, you know, a second round matchup with USC would have been a very, very daunting task. Obviously, they have one of the best freshmen, one of the best players in the entire nation. So that would have been a tough matchup. Obviously, Iowa State's first round matchup with Maryland's going to be very difficult as is. But man, if you can get by that first game, it doesn't seem quite as difficult of a task in the second round.
If you had to guess, do you see an Iowa State team that is young, inexperienced, and overwhelmed by the moment? Or do you see a Iowa State team that is young, inexperienced, and plays without regard for stakes because of that youth?
Yeah, without regards for stake. And that's how they've been the entire season. Now, it hasn't always resulted in wins, but I think probably the most impressive thing is when you look up and down at the schedule, for the most part, outside of both Texas games and, you know, when they were away in the holiday tournament, they've been in every game. So they've faced, obviously, some very tough opponents, but the majority of the time, you know, they picked up six wins over top 25 teams this season, two over top 10 opponents. So they've obviously had success on the big stage. But I think even in those games that they have lost, they've always stayed within striking distance and always competed really hard. So I don't think the spotlight is going to be too big for them, but the talent and the experience is going to be tough to navigate, especially for what will be a road game for them.
Assuming Tommy can navigate the complexities and just difficulties of air travel and leaving the state of Iowa, he will be out in Palo Alto to cover all of Iowa State's time on the West Coast. Be sure to check out DesMoinesRegister.com for all of his coverage and for all of our NCAA tournament coverage, which will be, you look at what the teams that the Register will be covering between the Iowa State men and women, the Drake men in Omaha, the Iowa women in Iowa City. Be plenty of basketball coverage over at DesMoinesRegister.com. Encourage you to check it out. This has been the Cyclone Insider Podcast from the Des Moines Register. For Randy, for Tommy, I'm Travis. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.